Exodus chapter number 30. I want to say again, I appreciate so much the opportunity. I count it a high honor and privilege to be here amongst God's choice servants. Amen. And I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. To God be all the glory. Amen. My life verse of John 3:30, He must increase and I must decrease. Amen. Exodus chapter number 30, please, in your Bibles. We'll read in starting in verse number 22. Exodus chapter number 30, verse number 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices, of pure myrrh 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus 250 shekels, and of cassia 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle and the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said to Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stacne, and ontia, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each there shall there be a like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereunto shall even be cut off from his people. I understand we've read a good bit of scripture tonight, more than we'd like to usually read as you're standing, but I wanted us to get the whole context of the text there. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the privilege once again to gather with these thy people. Lord, we thank you for this country that we live in. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy even right now. Lord, most of all, we thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reminded of the words of our Lord. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We bless your holy name. We thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the good word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity. But I know, Father, without you, I can do nothing. I beg for your touch even now. Lord, would you get Jeremy Chisholm out of the way? I pray that Christ should be high and lifted up. You must increase, and I must decrease. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy true sake. Help us tonight as we look to thy word. Feed our hungry souls, I pray. And whatever's accomplished, we will. I'll be careful to honor you and give you all of the glory. For it is in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This evening tonight, I want to preach on the holy anointing oil. The holy anointing oil. Of course, we come to the text where the Lord is giving Moses the blueprint for the tabernacle in the wilderness. And if you've studied anything concerning the Old Testament tabernacle, you know that it was the place where God met with his people. I love studying that tabernacle. You know as well that at every article of furniture, on down to the pins, amen, that fasten it to the ground, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he's altogether lovely, amen. Now, what's interesting about that tabernacle, if you're to look at it from the outside, it was a very ugly sight. It was not very beautiful to look upon. Oh, my friend, but once you got in on the inside and saw all of those beautiful colors and the wood overlaid with gold, oh, my friend, in the presence and the Shekinah glory of God, oh, is that not a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? This world looks at him, and my friend, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Isaiah 53 said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And may I say, this world does not find the Lord Jesus attractive. Oh, but once you get in on the inside, how beautiful he becomes, how glorious he becomes, how wonderful he becomes. He is altogether lovely. Amen. It speaks of the Lord Jesus. But I believe also, again, as we've said, it is that place where God met with his people. For the Bible says here in our text, in verse number 36, at the end of the verse, he said, where I will meet with thee. It was a place of worship. As a matter of fact, we know that the children of Israel were to encamp encircled around the tabernacle. It was to be the very center of attention. I got to thinking about that. Even in early American history, our towns used to be built around the house of worship, around the house of God. Amen. Oh, yes, you go to any mill town around here, and you'll find right in the middle of it, there will be a house, a place of worship. I believe there's something to that. Amen. Also, it's very interesting to me as well to know the order in which they camped around that tabernacle. Those camping nearest were the priests. We could call them the worshipers, the priests and the sons of Aaron, whose responsibility was to officiate in the nation's worship. And then a little bit further away were the Levites, who were in charge of the work or the service of the tabernacle. And then a little further, you would find the tribes, which constituted the warriors of Israel. So you have the worshipers, the workers, and then you have the warriors. It's also interesting to note, and by the way, this is not original with me. A.P. Gibbs said this in his book on worship. It's interesting to note the age of those who had these particular duties and at the age that they started these various duties. The worshipers or the priests had to be at least 30 years old, according to Numbers chapter 4 and verse number 3. The Levites or the workers had to be at least 25 years old, according to Numbers 8:24. The tribes or the warriors had to be at least 20 years old when they went off to war. And A.P. Gibbs said this, warfare is the characteristic of youth or immaturity, work of a little later in life, while worship comes still later. Worship, therefore, calls for greater spiritual knowledge, deeper discernment, and richer experience than work or warfare, though both these are necessary in the Christian life. Are you listening to me? I think there's a lot of warriors. There's a lot of people that are quick to fight. Y'all not helping me preach tonight. There's a lot of people quick, amen, to draw the sword and to go to battle. Are you listening to me? They may not know who they're battling against. Amen. They may be battling against each other, but they're quick to go to war. Are you listening to me? And may I say, there are those sometimes who are quick to go to work. Amen. There's a lot of Marthas many times within the house of God, cumbered about much serving. Amen. They are cumbered about in servant, and therefore they're critical, my friend, of their Savior. Are you listening to me? You want to know why? Because they're working without worshiping, and they're warring without worshiping. You see, just in that age breakdown, it would denote, my friend, that the more mature we get in the Lord, the closer we ought to get to the tabernacle. Are you listening to me? The more deeper we get in the things of God, my friend, you can war and still worship. You can work and still worship. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes. In the midst of the tabernacle and the instructions in giving this tabernacle, there were also given with it the instructions of this holy anointing oil, which was to be applied to the tabernacle and all of the vessels, as well as Aaron and his sons. I believe this holy anointing oil can be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, for the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 1 in verse number 9, and how that verse refers to Christ being anointed with the oil of gladness. Amen. I'm glad to know that my Lord Jesus is that great high priest, not after the order of Aaron, my friend. He didn't come through the Aaronic priesthood, which put up men who had infirmity, up men who sinned. Oh, my friend, who himself bare our sins in his own body. He died as the just for the unjust. Are you listening? He came after not the order of Aaron, but the order of Melchizedek. He has an unchangeable, unending priesthood. Oh, yes, it speaks of Christ as well, not only the holy anointing oil, but also of this holy incense or holy perfume. It also speaks of Christ in that sweet smelling incense. Well, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number 2, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Amen. Oh, can you imagine it, my friend, when Jesus entered in of the very holy of holies, not made with man's hands, no, my friend, in the very presence of God Almighty, not with the blood of bulls and goats, not with the blood of turtle doves or pigeons, but with his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. Can you sense God the Father as he says, oh, that smells good. That smells good. That smells good. I believe that aroma is still before God the Father. Amen. Even in 2018, there's still a sweet smell. There's still a sweet savor. Amen. In the nostrils of God. What is it? It's the supreme sacrifice of the darling Lamb of God. Amen. Bless his holy name. It's a type of Christ. But I believe also, as I want to look tonight, at this holy anointing oil and this holy incense is a type of biblical worship. I believe we find here in Exodus 30, verses 22 through 38, a type, if you will, Brother Ben, of biblical worship. We'll see this in just a few simple ways tonight, simple outline. I'll deal firstly with the product here. The product, God was very specific as to what this product was to be. He mentions firstly in verse number 23, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh. Myrrh in the Bible, if you find and study and follow that word for the Bible, is always associated with sacrifice and with death. Amen. Oh, let me say tonight, if we're ever to enter in the biblical worship, we must learn to die to self. It will not be, and I'll tell you what alarms me about this day, is that there is such a promotion of self. There is such a my friend, an uplifting of self and personality, and this one and that one and this one and that one and this group and this choir and this song. Oh, may I say, of that true worship will begin when we die to self. It's not me. It's not me. It's not you. It's not a choir. It's not a group. Amen. It's not a personality. It's all about Him. Amen. Myrrh was the first ingredient. Speaks of death and sacrifice. And then there is secondly listed sweet cinnamon. Again, that represents that sweet savor. And can I say tonight that when we enter in the true biblical worship, we die to self, my friend. It is a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God. I'm going to tell you, my friend, what ought to be protruding from the house of God is not the stench of selfishness and self-glory and contention and strife and division. Are you listening to me? What ought to be protruding from the house of God is the sweet smell of biblical worship. Amen. And then calamus is mentioned. Calamus. They tell me that this calamus was a cane that was cut down and dried and beaten to fine powder. I think it speaks of suffering. Speaks of suffering. May the Lord remind us of what Paul said in Philippians chapter number 3 in verse number 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. We love that. We love that part. But oftentimes we stop right there, but the verse goes on. And the fellowship of His sufferings. You know what I'm finding? What I'm finding, that we can enter in to true biblical worship when we learn about suffering, amen. Oh, yes, sir. When we allow God to grind us down and beat us down to fine powder, my friend, you show me an individual who's been through the valley, who's been through suffering. I'll show you an individual that knows how to climb up, amen, and crawl in an altar somewhere and offer up sweet incense to the God of heaven. Cassia. Cassia here is mentioned. And cassia means split or stripped, because what it was literally a bark that was peeled off. I believe it speaks of sanctification. Amen. Hey. You want to know why there's so much fleshliness in worship? Hey, I didn't come to straighten anybody out. No, 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 1,000 times no. God knows my heart. But you want to know why there's so much fleshliness in worship, my friend? And it is almost as though it has become an entertainment industry. Listen to me tonight. Oh, my God, deliver us. Help us. Amen. To find that ingredient of cassia. May God strip off of the mark of us, amen, and separate us unto Himself. I'm a little alarmed, my friend, at the amount of worldliness and carnality within the church this evening, my friend, where folks want to look like the world and dress like the world and talk like the world and use the world's slogans, amen, and use the world's cliches and call that worship, my friend. It does not work. Cassia. Then there's the olive oil, which no doubt is a type of the Spirit of God. And I promise you, there will not be biblical worship apart from the Holy Ghost of God. There's two dangers in that. There are those who promote the Holy Ghost too much. Amen. They exalt the Holy Ghost, and we know that is contrary to the Word of God. Jesus said He'll testify of me, He'll speak of me, He'll glorify me. Amen. There's a danger of exalting Him too much, but then there's a danger, my friend, of operating without Him. Amen. Operating in the energy of the flesh. Oh, but my soul, if we are to enter in the biblical worship, we must have the power and presence of the Holy Ghost of God. We find the product here, but then there is the price that is mentioned here. God says in verse number 23, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels. Sweet cinnamon, half so much even, 250 shekels. Sweet calamus, 250 shekels. Verse 24, cassia, 500 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary and olive oil and hin, I have not taken the time to do the math, but it seems to me that this is a pricey substance. Amen. This costs something. Are you listening here? And I'm not necessarily interested in the monetary value, but I'm interested in what that product was used for. There was a price involved. It cost something. Are you listening to me? May I say tonight, this world drives by Old Furnace Road tonight and they say it's a bunch of crackpots, a bunch of feeble-minded, ignorant people who need God as a spare tire or as a crutch. And they would look at this choir tonight rejoicing, and they would look at these folk tonight raising their hands toward a holy God, and they would say, that is a waste of time. That is a waste of energy. That is a waste of resources. But can I say tonight, it is not a waste. It may not mean anything to this world, but in the economy of God, you can't put a price tag on it, brother. You can't put a price tag on it, friend. I promise you, I wouldn't give you $1 million, my friend. Oh, no, my friend. You could not give me $1 million to exchange, amen, the opportunity to enter in the house of God and sit at the table and have my soul fed with manna from above. Oh, no, my soul. Oh, the world would say, you're warping your children's mind. You're twisting them. You're wasting your time and your energy. But I'm telling you, you can't put a price tag on what's transpiring this week at Gateway Baptist Church. You can't put a price tag on old time religion. You can't put a price tag. Oh, I would not give you anything, my friend. Oh, listen to me. Oh, thank God for those men of God. And I had the opportunity to sit at their feet. Oh, they may not have been educated as far as the world is concerned. They may not have even, my friend, had an education as far as a college degree. But they faithfully declared and delivered the word of God. You can put a price tag on it, friend. It's priceless. It's priceless. Think about it tonight. I grew up in a mobile home. Nothing. But I have the privilege to scoot up to the table of the King.
Oh, yes.
Are you listening to me tonight? I'm preaching to you the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's altogether lovely, and I'm His son. I'm His child. His blood has washed me white as snow. You can't put a price tag on it, friend. I thought about Mary of Bethany. The Bible said in John chapter 12, she brought that pound of ointment. Bible said it was very costly. Very costly. They tell me, and you know this is nothing new, that more than likely it's worth a year's wage. That's what most everyone says. At least a year's wage. And Judas stood up. He said, why was this waste? He called it waste. But Mary saw to it. Are you listening to me? Now, you just indulge me for a minute. If it was a year's wage, that tells me she planned at least a year in advance for that day. She planned at least a year in advance for that day. Now, if I get out of the book, you tell me, friend. But Jesus said, John chapter 12, against the day of my bearing, has she kept this? That word kept means guarded. She protected it. Against, she reserved it for that day. A year in advance. I wonder when the last time, a year in advance, we prepared to worship Him. I just wonder tonight, are we really interested in this cost thing? Go with Mary to Jerusalem, Cato, Jerusalem, Walmart, Bethany, Cato, Bethany, Walmart. They lived in Bethany, didn't they? And the flesh says, Mary, you sure could use a new pair of shoes. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Mary says, no. I'm saving this money for something special. Hey, Mary, you sure could use a new dress. Yeah. No. I'm saving this money for something special, for someone special. This money is going for some special ointment, and I'm going to take that and I'm going to apply it to my Lord and my Savior's feet, and I'm going to get real low. I'm going to take my glory. I'm going to take my glory. I'm going to take my glory, and I'm going to wash His feet. The lowest thing about Him. The lowest thing about Him. Oh, my soul, bless His holy name. Is He not worthy tonight of our very being? He's worthy. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Found the product, the price. There's the purity of this oil. Bible several times says in this text that it was to be most holy. He said in verse 23 that it was to be the principal spices. My friend, it was to be the finest ingredients. I'm afraid in this day and hour we have settled, amen, we have settled for imitation. We have settled, my friend, for that is not genuine. We have settled, my friend, and what scares me to death, friend, is that we have learned the lingo. We have learned how to do it. We have learned how to do it without Him. Oh my God, help us. It reminds me of Exodus 32. When God saw that the children of Israel had worshipped that golden calf, and He told Moses, He said, I'm going to destroy them. And you remember how Moses interceded on their behalf, and God said, all right, I won't destroy them. But Moses, you go on up. I'll send an angel, but I will not go with thee. And Moses said, oh Lord, let it not be so. Let it not be so. God help us. Choir member, may you get to the place where you say, if God is not on us, we don't want to sing. A preacher, if God is not on us, may we not desire to mount the pulpit in the energy of the flesh. This is holy business. This is God's business. Amen. And it deserves our very best. Pure. Most holy. God help us. One of my pet peeves It's for people to get up and say, y'all pray for us. We hadn't practiced or anything. We're going to try one out on you. Now, please, I'm not being critical. I'm not. I understand sometimes, you know, circumstances and things. I understand all that. But my friend, is he not worthy of us putting a little bit more preparation? Hey, man of God, is he not worthy? You see, when we realize we're not preaching for a paycheck, we're not preaching for a congregation, and we're not preaching for a denomination, and we're not preaching for accolades, and we're not preaching for pets on the back, and we're not preaching for the approval of the brethren. Oh, my soul, there is, my friend, a God in heaven who has placed his call on you, and does he not deserve our very best? Purity. We could look at that this oil was very particular. There was not to be any other oil made like this oil. There was not to be any other perfume made like this sweet incense. Matter of fact, God said in verse number 33, whosoever compounded anything like any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it on a stranger shall even be cut off from his people. He said in verse number 37, and as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, the smell thereunto shall even be cut off from his people. I'm telling you, this holy anointing oil was particular. And can I say, thank God, you can tell the difference between that is genuine and that is not. What alarms me is that there is a younger generation that oftentimes does not know the difference. I heard Brother Eddie Davis say this, and I think he's quoting Charles Spurgeon. Discernment is not necessarily knowing what's right from wrong, but it's knowing what's right from what's almost right. It was particular. Are you listening to me? It was particular. Oh, it was particular. It was to be protected. I thought about Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1. The wise men said, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A little folly, he said. You know what he's doing there? He's saying a little folly is like a dead fly in the ointment. I've never been much for telling jokes, preacher. I always mess them up. But I'll be honest with you, and I'm not against those who do. Please, don't go away here saying that. But especially behind the pulpit, I'm not good at telling stories. I'm not good at giving those stories that grab the people, my friend. I'm just not good at that. I'm not gifted there. But I'm telling you, one of the reasons it is personal conviction. When I stand behind this sacred desk, I believe it's serious time. I believe it's a holy time. And I think sometimes we carry on with a little bit too much foolishness when it comes to the things of God. Let me close with this. It was to be preserved. Notice what God said in verse number 31. I'm almost done. He said verse 31. And thou shalt speak of the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. It was to be preserved. You know what I'm interested in? I want with all of my being. God's blessed me with 7 precious children. My oldest will be 15 in June. My youngest is about 10 weeks old. with all of my heart, Brother Davy. I want them to be able to get a taste of old time preaching, old time singing, old time worship. You see, my friend, I'm just 35, but I can remember God moving in great and mighty ways. Oh, but what alarms me, what scares me, is it's becoming fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer of this holy anointing oil was to be preserved for the other generation, for the next generation. I'm not a pessimist, but I am a realist. What church will they have? What kind of jubilee will there be in 20 years, 10 years? 10 years. Oh, God. Oh, I don't want to learn how to do it without Him. I don't want to learn to operate without that holy anointing oil. Oh, God, help us. It was to be preserved. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank You for Your precious word tonight. Thank You for the example of the Old Testament. Father, I'm thankful that we have the fulfillment in the New Testament of the Lord Jesus. You said the hour is coming, now is when the true worshipers shall come. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. No, Lord, we realize it is so vitally. We must have His holy anointing oil. Oh, God, would You please move in this invitation time. Thank You for what our hearts have been able to partake of. We love You and we bless You. We give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Preacher, You come.